Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. It is Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament Week, which we are looking forward to very much. The show will be live from the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club out there in Hummel's Wharf, which we're looking forward to very, very much. We're in the morning flight. I think there's still a couple of spots left in the morning flight. The afternoon is sold out. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you. I believe, is Sarah with us today?
Yeah, I'm here, and we have Bob here until Kevin. Kevin's on the road, but he should be back soon. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
It's been a happy one so far, take my word. It didn't start out right, I can tell you that.
Well, you know,
I got up this morning. Suddenly, I'm asleep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wicked leg cramp. All right. Pop up. All right. I've got maybe 2 feet between the bed and the wall. I popped up. I hit something. Lost my balance. Went into the wall, into a picture frame. Nice inch cut above my left eyebrow, and I got 6 stitches in it at the emergency room this morning. So, yeah.
But other than that, the day's gone well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's what we've had so far. So for any of you who see me at the golf tournament, and we hope you all do, and you're like, oh, what the heck happened to you? I'm hoping that I explained it in one fell swoop here and got it out of the way.
I think the better explanation would be that you and Kevin were partners, and somehow an errant golf ball from Kevin caused the damage. That would be the better explanation. People would believe that one.
Well, unfortunately, all the blood I cleaned up off the floor this morning doesn't jive with that one too well. But it was, wow.
What an ouch.
That was, it was.
Oh, I can imagine.
So, it's about a nice little inch gash up there. But what the heck? No big deal. I mean, they kept asking me questions if I had a concussion or not, and I told them, you know. Because at one point they asked a question whether I felt safe at home. And I said, I feel safer there than here.
Ooh. I'm sure they noted that in the chart.
I'm sure they did. Now, did you watch Sarah and Bob both? Did each of you watch the V. Stiviano interview on Friday night on 2020?
I didn't see the whole thing, but I did catch a lot of it after the fact.
Yeah, I wasted a period of my life listening to it, that's for sure. Is that lady bizarre or what?
If that wasn't a bizarre trip for 15 minutes.
You know, I've never taken LSD, but I could imagine if I did, that's what my experience would be like, listening to that.
Well, Barbara Walters did a good job.
Yeah.
And I don't know how restricted she was on questions. And here's my reasoning why. To me, some of the legitimate questions, and again, legally, this woman may not have been able to touch what I'm about to discuss. So maybe that was why it was off the table. But I think it has to be explained why it's off the table, too. All right. Okay. Why did you record the calls? Why did he ask you to record them? Do you have written consent from him to record them? Where do you store them? How many hours are there that people didn't get a hold of? How did you lose control of it? In other words, it got out there. I mean, these are all the questions I would be asking her, because I really don't care if she's in love with him at all.
No, but that does raise some interesting questions on in and of themselves, which we don't need to chat on the air about. But, you know, in Pennsylvania, if you record someone like that without their consent, that would be what we call a felony.
In California, you need written consent. It's not just mere consent.
Yeah.
It's written consent. Now, when we do an interview, now, Sarah, you do a lot of radio interviews.
Right.
It's standard practice that you say, is it okay we record you?
Right. Definitely. Yeah. But, you know, we call people, we do phone interviews. Hey, just letting you know this recorded.
Exactly.
I mean, take, for example, I do a disclaimer all the time on the Penn State Sports Network broadcast or in the Big Ten where it talks about express written consent of.
Yes.
You know, so you just can't sit there and record it and then do what you want with it just because it was on the airwaves. You have to have prior written consent to just re-air even a great play that we air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something as simple as that, let alone a private phone conversation. Are you concerned, Bob, that, you know, we know what he said, right?
Yes.
And the degree to which it upset the rank and file in the NBA to the point they were going to walk out if Commissioner Adam Silver didn't come down hard, which he did.
He did.
Okay. Now I want to ask you this question. Okay. I'm really glad you're here today because we can talk some legal ground here for
sure.
A moment. It's my contention that Donald Sterling is not going to give up ownership of the Clippers. It is my contention he will fight them tooth and nail in court. And one of the central areas that I think needs to be discussed is what is actually the business? Is the NBA the business or are the Clippers the business?
He owns an entity, I'm not sure, you know, of the exact legal name or where it's incorporated, but there is a corporation somewhere that is the Los Angeles Clippers NBA team. It is a franchise, which means that it is created under the umbrella of the National Basketball Association.
Right. You and I can create our own league, the American Basketball Association. If we wanted to put a team in Kentucky, put a team in Jacksonville, put a team in Tucson, you and I could put together in the business of basketball, you and I could start a rival league to the NBA.
Absolutely. But the
NBA, the Clippers, but if you and I wanted to start a franchise, okay, we'd have nobody to play.
That'd be we'd have Kevin and four of his friends from the Sunbury area, the Chief, and a couple people like that. We could, you know, be opposing our team, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly. So what is the entity in your legally, what is the entity here? Is the entity the NBA or is it the Clippers?
It is actually both. The NBA, because they have given a franchise to this corporation owned by Mr. Sterling and I think some partners, the owner of the franchise must abide by the rules and regulations of the franchise agreement. Steve, it's no different than McDonald's. If McDonald's somewhere in the world decides that they're going to start selling hot dogs with Coney sauce on them and chuck the Big Mac, they will lose that franchise because they violated a contract between the individual McDonald's store and the National Organization of McDonald's, to use an example. So,
well, just like I talked about last week, I mentioned, for example, Papa John's.
Sure.
Peyton Manning's a franchise owner.
Yes, he is. It's the same. It's no really different than franchise law. It just has a sporting aspect to it. And there are, just like any food franchise, there are quality standards. There are integrity clauses. They can't force him to sell his corporation, but they can certainly, because he owns that, but they can certainly do everything in their power under that franchise agreement to restrict his ability to control it, which is what they did, suspend him.
Now, suspending your voting rights as a league entity they're well within their rights to do.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the overall thing, Steve, is the courts do not like to get involved in generally in franchise disputes. However, there is a specific law, a national law passed by Congress quite a few years ago, that does protect franchise holders from unilateral or heavy-handed action by the like the NBA or the McDonald's Corporation or, you know, the people that grant the franchises. So a guy like the owner of the Clippers will have protections and due process rights that he can use. And one of the things that he can ask for, like any franchise holder can, is a due process hearing in front of a company committee at the very beginning. I actually represented somebody that had an Exxon franchise a few years ago. They lost the franchise because the Exxon didn't like the building dimensions, and we were able to appeal and went down to Houston, Texas. So Mr. Sterling will have rights under federal law to contest the sanctions.
I believe first of all, the NBA Constitution is not public. But those who have knowledge of the NBA Constitution say there's Clause 13, Rule 13, whatever, Article 13, whatever it happens to be, about removal of ownership. And it really deals with gambling. It doesn't deal with this.
Right. I've read those reports as well. And, you know, in these kinds of rules, I don't think people, when they drew them up years ago, would have thought that something like this would be an issue. Of course it is, and it's a big issue, and they just didn't have the foresight to put that in the franchise or in the bylaws of the NBA.
Yeah, but you know what? But Bob, okay, first of all, if I'm an NBA owner, okay, there's no doubt in my mind that I'm voting, you know, along with everyone else, and it's 29-0.
It is.
All right? An attitude like that, I don't care if the league is 100% Latin, 100% Caucasian, 100% African American. It doesn't matter, or whatever in between. Okay, so when I've heard the league is 70% African American, to me, if the league is 100% Caucasian, you can't have that attitude.
Doesn't make a difference,
right? It doesn't make a difference at all, right? I mean, you, Sarah, myself, we're three people that have always our entire lives believed that people are people. Okay, you know, there's Phil, there's Jamal, there's Jose, there's Mike, there's Jim. You know that. You know what I mean? That's just how we've lived our entire life. Okay, so now that's on the table, the next part is that it is also a private phone call that got out, and to boot, it seems like on the surface it's illegal she recorded it without written consent. And then it's illegal that it was aired.
Sounds true. That sounds correct to me.
How do you lose your franchise?
Yeah.
How do you lose your franchise over illegalities?
Oh, absolutely. It is
where you're the person. In other words, he's the one that is actually not the one who committed the illegal act. He's the one that committed the ignorant act, but not the illegal act. Yeah.
That would be called irony. And Steve, you know, you said there were questions you wanted to ask her that Barbara Walters did not. One of the questions I would have asked is, how much money, if any, did you get paid for releasing the tape? Under, you know, your age, being your agent on behalf of you, got paid?
Exactly. That's a great question. Did you receive any money for releasing that phone call?
I'm sure she knew it was a hot potato after she listened to the conversation or after she took part in the conversation with him.
I'm not here to defend him in any way, shape, or form, but if when you listen to the call, she steers him and baits him toward it.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, that's what he's wrong, but she is... Okay, just a slice of advice to the Valley, okay? Stay away from her.
Okay. While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is Wednesday. Susquehanna Valley Country Club. Afternoon flight is filled. Morning flight, you can still get in. Although there are only a couple spots open. We'll do the show live. Bob, come on out and join us.
I'm planning on being there for the show.
Bob, thank you so much.
Glad to do it. You know, Steve, I wanted to tell you, and Kevin is now back here at the anchor chair.
Yes, congratulations to Kevin, Dave Ritchie.
Yes.
They went and picked up their award today.
It's mostly Dave Ritchie, believe me.
It's the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters. Yeah. That's a big deal.
It's Dave Ritchie. I just go along for the ride. He's the brains of the outfit. He's the brains of the outfit, believe me.
Oh, boy. You know, you're talking to the choir on that one.
But thank you very much. Very, very, very pleased.
Aren't a lot of those awards given out around the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? And, Steve, we happen to be in the presence of one of those great award winners for his commentary on last year's Danville-Shikellamy District 4 basketball game.
Yeah, it's really nice when you're in a list of people that include the Pirates broadcast, the Steelers broadcasts, and that's very humbling.
Great, that's wonderful.
It is.
Penn State broadcasting there at all? Oh, that's right. We don't. we never. How do we think it's ever been brought up?
Like, quite honestly, I support you not being a part of that because I enjoy having a chance.
No, I don't know. Just I've never, you know. I am so happy for you because I think you deserve it so much.
Thank you very much.
You know, I just, you know.
But you are submitting an entry next year, right, Steve?
No. With all due respect to some fine people, I don't have a lot of desire to, but
I need the reassurance. That's the big difference.
Someone asked me, like, you know, what's your attitude when it comes to awards? I go, contract renewal.
The biggest award of all.
And we've been lucky enough to be also nominated for the Pennsylvania Associated Press Award. So, yeah.
It'd be great for you to double. What a great tribute to you, to Dave Ritchie, to WKOK, Sunbury Broadcasting. Congratulations. Well deserved. They picked the right person.
Mark Mahoney also winning for website design for WKOK.
Excellent. Now that, you bet. Yep, absolutely. What a job he does with that. That's terrific. Yeah, figure if we stroke his ego enough, he'll hit the ball further on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, he carries me through.
Who are you playing golf with on Wednesday, Steve, by the way?
Did we get a fourth?
Very likely have a fourth, yes.
Can he play?
Yes.
Is he a ringer?
I'm sorry, I would like to take the fifth, Your Honor.
Okay.
My client pleads the fifth. No. We likely do have a fourth, so we're in good shape.
I was going to bring Franklin.
Ah!
There's no birthday party or anything? Or is this...
You'd freak out.
How good of a golfer is Jack Ham?
Really good.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't show up, because I do not. I just
talked to him 10 minutes ago. Maybe 15. 15
There's a
minutes
shocker.
Ago. I just talked to him.
He always calls between 3 and 5. Yeah. It's automatic.
I know. He called. Girardi called before the show.
How did Girardi do this weekend? Because I didn't do well. I had the winner, but I did not get the show. Did not get the place in the exacta.
Monsieur Girardi hit the exacta. More than that.
Well, that was on a simple bet, though.
Okay, he made some money. he missed the superfecta. Okay, which is 4,
yeah. Right?
By a nose.
Ooh, that was like $2,000 when that one paid out, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I made money.
That's not like a $1 bet.
Yeah.
No, the superfecta was $7,600.
Oh, that must have been the trifecta then. It was like $2,000. Sorry.
Believe me, the numbers he quoted to me on the phone, which I will not quote here, were impressive.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. You know,
but
for
he
once.
He did very
though,
well. He hit the exacta.
For once. The horse that was most likely to win actually did.
Yep.
That doesn't happen
that's
often.
That's because that horse ran its race. That's why. It found its natural spot on the track quickly and then was allowed to run its race. The problem that you find in the Derby, because it's the only horse race in North America that has more than 14 horses in it. 14 is the limit in the United States when they run horse races. Because, in this case, it was 19... And at times there are 20 at the Kentucky Derby, but there are 19 horses. Because it is a cluster bomb at the start, right? It's very difficult for a horse to claim its natural spot and then run its race. California Chrome claimed its natural spot in the top 3 very early and then ran its race.
But I'll tell you, the way that horse looked as it rounded the final pole into the front stretch as well, boy, you have to think that is a more than favorite to win the Preakness. I mean, that horse just looks strong.
Yeah, most of those horses will, you know, and like, you know, I know you hate when I debunk sports mythology, you know, and kill it with realism, but, you know, take Pimlico, okay? What's the reputation of Pimlico in mythology? It has tight turns. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is the biggest hunk of bunk going. It's not true. You want to know the difference between Pimlico? If you were to lay Pimlico over Churchill Downs, you know what you would get?
What would you get?
Turns are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. The difference is that the width of the track at Pimlico gives you the illusion.
Yeah.
Because it is not as wide as Churchill Downs.
Churchill Downs
thank
is
you very,
wide.
Thank you very much. We're back with you again next week. All right. So
the geometry of horse racing.
Yeah. Well, that's critical.
The turns in terms of how the track is built is exactly the same as Churchill Downs. But it's the width of the track. It is not as wide as Churchill Downs. Now you're going to have fewer horses. My guess is you'll have between 9 and a dozen horses in this thing. Mile and 3/16, so the setup in terms of distance is great for California Chrome. Not having to deal with a cluster of horses at the beginning is going to be great for California Chrome. You might find a couple of horses with some speed that may want to run this race that didn't run the Derby. Say he wins and it goes to the Belmont. The problem is going to be how fresh is this horse, how can he handle the extra distance, and how many horses in the field will have fresh legs.
Well, you know, I think one of the other things that really helped out California Chrome and Victor Espinoza was the fact that this was not a fast race coming out of the gate. I mean, it really played into the hands of a horse like California Chrome, who really looks strong.
Wasn't a fast race from start to finish.
Right.
It ran 2:03. It might as well have been playing Chariots of Fire. I mean, seriously, there was the third race they were running on grass. They were running on the turf, okay?
Right. I watched that.
And those horses were going 37, 38 miles an hour. These guys were going 35 miles an hour, okay? Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Time now to bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Ben, Penn State basketball banquet was yesterday. Patrick Chambers talked about the 6 additional wins, the 4 additional wins in the Big Ten, and talked about a lot of positives.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where you have to look at the positives. I mean, you know, he's always said from day one that this isn't going to be an overnight transformation. You know, the program's not going to, you know, turn around what its history is and turn into something that it isn't overnight. So I think the focus on the positive is accurate, and that's the point of those kind of banquets, to kind of look and say, you know, we beat Indiana on the road, we swept Ohio State, we're doing things that the program hasn't done in years, we're doing things the program hasn't ever done. I think that's the right kind of tone to set, and it keeps people in a positive mind frame moving forward. You don't worry about the wins and losses. I think certainly, it's a different kind of situation, but Guy Gadowski from Mentaki has always said in these first 2 years that it's not about wins and losses. It's about, you know, the steps that you make forward during the process of building a program. And I think that's very true for what Pat's trying to do. Maybe Penn State basketball has been around a little bit longer than Mentaki has, but certainly I think a lot of that is very true. And I think you'd see both coaches, given the chance to sort of summarize a season, would look at those positives and say, you know, look, we're making steps forward, we're headed in the right direction, and now it's just about continuing that next year.
Right. Now, how long have you covered the basketball program?
That is a very good question. It feels like a very long time, but I imagine probably Gary Claxton's senior year is when I really got on board here.
What is your perception of the current state of the program based on everything you've watched and the history you've put together on it?
Well, I think it's definitely headed in the right direction. I think there's still a ways to go. But I think that if you consider the fact that when Pat got here, he inherits a team that has, you know, relatively little experience, and really has had the same core of that team for all 3 years that he's been here and has been able to turn really a team that was not particularly good into a team that has, you know, been competitive like we've seen it this year and probably could have been last year if Jim hadn't gotten hurt. I think that's a testament, to Pat's ability to coach. And I think recruiting-wise, you see more and more guys from Philadelphia, taking a look at the program. And I think people don't appreciate maybe that, that wasn't even always the case. Maybe Penn State doesn't land every recruit that it wants. That hasn't happened, but the fact that teams or high school players are taking Penn State seriously as an option, saying, hey, I got an offer for them, or guys in Philadelphia that are looking at Penn State more than they had in the past, I think that in and of itself, even if you don't land those guys, is an important step forward to, you know, really winning over the hearts and minds, if you will, of some of those younger guys. So I think, you know, obviously, we both know that there's a long way to go, but I think you see the gap between where Penn State is and where the top of the conference is getting a lot smaller and smaller. And I think you see Penn State's ability to really keep that gap small night in and night out is much more consistent, which I think is important to finally getting over those humps and winning some of those close games. Because it wasn't as though, this season was full of, you know, close wins and blowouts the rest of the time. Certainly everyone has a bad night. But, I think that gap is getting smaller and smaller, and that's the most important part.
Tim Frazier, I thought, made a remarkable comeback because this is a very, very difficult injury. I mean, you know, as Kobe Bryant overcompensated, hurt his knee, and didn't play a minute this year. Now, he's older, obviously, but same kind of injury. How much, in your opinion, was the perception of the season hurt with his return, with a lot of people not realizing he was not 100%?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely when you knew that Tim was going to be back and that he was going to be healthy for the start of the year, there were a lot of expectations that he was going to be the Tim Frazier that we had seen, you know, over a year ago. And certainly in many respects, Tim was as good as he had ever been. But in a lot of ways, it took him a while to get, You know, his timing back, his physical abilities back, his leaping, his really just everything that comes with that kind of injury. And I think that kind of thing takes a toll on his abilities on the court and off the court. And, you know, maybe people had a little too high expectations of what he was going to be able to do, especially from a scoring perspective, because Tim has always gotten his averages, but has never been a pure scorer. He's always done a lot better as a facilitator, which I think you saw when he went out to Portland, Virginia to play in the tournament there a couple weeks ago, that he did a really good job getting his teammates involved and only scored when he really had to. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of player that Tim Frazier really is. So I think for people to have expected him to come back 100% or better than he was when he was hurt, and to really just carry the team, in some sense those expectations are reasonable, but at the same time, maybe not to the level that some fans had maybe hoped that he'd be able to execute, because that's really just not the kind of player that he's been.
Okay, to the next part, moving forward, when you look at what they have returning, how good can they be based on some of the improvements they've had?
They can be as good as they were last year, and they can win some of those games that maybe they lost this past season. But, I mean, really the ability for a team to get better is your ability as a player to progress from the end of the offseason to the start of next year. I mean, we've seen guys like Ross Travis have ended the year really strong and sort of maybe not started off the year quite the way they'd want to. But I think if Penn State's going to be a team that's going to be able to take that next step, they're going to need guys like Brandon Taylor and Donovan Jack and Ross Travis to really find, their game early on, for Donovan Jack to kind of keep his three-point shooting consistent throughout the year, for Brandon Taylor to keep his three-point shooting consistent throughout the year, and sort of continue to work on his game with his back to the basket. I mean, he got the most improved player award yesterday, and I think it's well-deserved, because you see a guy who's put in a lot of work during the season and in the offseason that's really sort of expanded his game. So if other guys can do that, if guys like Shep Gardner and Isaiah Washington can come in and really make a difference, immediately as freshmen, which is always hard to do, especially as a guard. But if those guys can do that and the rest of them can continue to move forward, and guys like even I just completely drew a blank. But, yeah, I mean, I think they have the pieces there to do that, but it's going to
transition time. Ohio State has some transition, especially with Ross, Kraft graduating, Ross going early. I mean, what can this mean for Penn State? Because it's not just what you have, it's also what the other guy has in terms of movement in this league.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that's actually an advantage to Penn State, because Penn State has not really been a program that has a guy here for 2 years, he goes pro, or a guy here for a year, right, he goes pro. The fact that these guys stay here for 4 or 5 years, they get to work together, they know each other, the chemistry is there, the veteran savvy can make up for a lot of things that maybe more talented players might have on you on the court. Just guys that have been around the block a long time, sometimes can make up that difference. So I think that's definitely an advantage at Penn State. And obviously anytime that, another team is lacking experience, that's going to be an advantage just by the nature of the fact that they're just figuring things out for the first time. But it's almost funny that Penn State this year was able to do so many things well in the statistical categories and then face a Big Ten conference that was really, everyone was winning every night. It was never, you never saw teams going on these win streaks. The fact that Penn State at one time had the longest win streak in the conference play kind of goes to show, how up and down it had all been. You almost feel like if Penn State had taken that team and played in a different year, things might have gone a little bit differently. So I definitely think that having that experience returning next year is definitely going to be a big asset.
Because going into last season, Ben, that was my biggest concern for Penn State. Not how well Penn State was going to play. I thought they played pretty well. But the fact that the league, which had been at a high level, wasn't losing a lot last year. This is going to be a different transition. I know you had Maryland, which is going to be, I don't know how much better Maryland's going to be. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, Maryland just lost. Allen just transferred out. I mean, they've had a lot in that regard. What do you think about the Big Ten Big East challenge that will start in 2015 and run for 6 years?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I think the Big Ten ACC challenge has always been a fun event to look forward to, and I think a lot of conferences have the sort of marquee season opening events or tournaments or what have you, and I think you get sort of the regional teams playing each other is important. And I think for the Big East, in many ways, it helps kind of get people reacquainted with who is in that conference exactly. I know when they announced it, I had to think, so who were Penn State's options to play down the road? And I had to go pull up a list of the Big East teams, since it's been so guys are coming and going all the time for those programs. So I think it's really good. I think it'll be good for Penn State to be able to play some of these regional teams, get their name out there. I know that Pat has said that he doesn't want to play Villanova because he has a good relationship with Jay Wright, but obviously that's going to be, you have to think at some point down the road, that's going to be one of the marquee games for that event. So I think to get guys in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Ohio and even some of the maybe even DuPaul and Illinois and Chicago, to get Penn State's brand out there is good for the program, and to get, the Big East and the Big Ten playing against each other, really two of the better basketball conferences in the country to play against each other every year, makes for an interesting event, not only for people who cover those teams, but people who just watch college basketball.
Why does one sense DePaul may play a Northwestern, Marquette may play Wisconsin, Creighton may play Nebraska? I mean, I'm not a matchmaker here, but you start to think.
It's one of those things where, it makes the most sense from a regional perspective that everything it matches up so well. Even Penn State with Georgetown being in D.C. is a pretty short trip, in St. John's and Seton Hall in New Jersey makes for some, pretty obvious matchups, I would think.
Well, the other part, too, is you may see Georgetown play Maryland, because Georgetown refused to play Maryland. Refused. John Thompson wouldn't play them. John Thompson III wouldn't play them. And so finally, I think it was this past year, Maryland dropped Georgetown in every sport, everything. And so why does one sense that next year somebody may say, you know what, why don't you two play? Conference made you do it.
The omnipotent powers that be might just make that happen for us.
I think so. Hey, Ben, it's always a pleasure. I love talking basketball with you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. I always appreciate being on.
That's Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Big Ten Big East Challenge being announced today. It'll be the opening game for Big Ten schools and Big East schools starting in 2015. Bob Buhner alongside the great one himself and national award winner Kevin Herr. Might as well make it sound big.
I'm all for making it sound big.
Hey, what were the ratings for the Let's Drive Backwards thing?
They didn't run it yet.
Oh, they were just practicing?
Yeah, so you didn't miss out on anything. You're good.
Let me guess. On this show, it was an IndyCar segment you submitted, and they went, we're not doing that. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.